When we stand in a cemetery, looking at the dates carved into marble or granite, it just feels incredibly final.
It really does. To our human minds, I mean.
Right. It feels like the ultimate period at the end of a long sentence. It is quite literally written in stone.
Absolutely.
But where we see a definitive tragic end, the author of Life places a comma. And that tension between our human finality and divine authority is the exact focus of our discussion today.
It is such a vital topic for us to examine.
It is. We welcome you to our time in the Word. Today, we are exploring a really remarkable Resurrection Sunday morning message. This was from April 5th, 2026, delivered by Brother Steve at New Life Benson.
And the message is titled, The Final I Am, and Where's Your Focus?
Right. And our mission today is to carefully explore the profound truths of this sermon. We really want to discover what we as Christians need to remember so we can keep our faith anchored.
Especially while navigating today's increasingly dark world.
Exactly, because it can feel overwhelmingly dark right now. But to really appreciate the weight of Brother Steve's message, you have to picture the setting of that morning.
Oh, it was a joyful Resurrection Sunday service.
Just full of celebration. There was this beautiful opening prayer reflecting on Christ's mercy, a kids' choir enthusiastically singing Jesus is Alive. And there was even a moment of lighthearted misunderstanding during the announcement.
Ah, yes, the giant semi-trailer sale.
Right. The pastor had to humorously clarify that the church outreach group was not actually selling giant commercial
They
trucks.
were just hosting a sale out of a trailer.
Exactly. It was a very warm, joyful morning. But at its core, the message itself was, well, it was
It
piercing.
was an urgent call regarding the exclusivity and power of Jesus Christ.
Yes. And before we can apply Jesus's words to our lives today, we first have to look at the incredibly raw human moment where he originally spoke them.
We are talking about John chapter 11.
Right. And Brother Steve points out the great irony here. Jesus makes his grandest declaration regarding his exclusivity when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life," right in the middle of a funeral.
Standing in Bethany, surrounded by overwhelming grief.
And I want you, the listener, to think about how counterintuitive that feels. Imagine someone stepping up to a microphone at a modern-day graveside service.
While the family is visibly weeping in the front row.
Exactly. And delivering this triumphant, victorious speech about their own power. To our minds, that might seem jarring or even inappropriate.
It feels out of
It
place.
does. So the question is, why did Jesus wait until the absolute darkest moment to make this specific declaration?
Well, Brother Steve's contextual insights are just fascinating here because Jesus intentionally waited. He waited 4 days to arrive.
Which is agonizing to read about.
It is, but this wasn't a delay of negligence. It wasn't a scheduling issue. It was a delay of divine purpose.
A delay of divine purpose. That is a remarkable way to phrase it.
Right, because he waited to dispel a very prominent Jewish superstition of the time.
What was the superstition exactly?
Well, the cultural belief was that a person's spirit hung around the body for 3 days.
Oh, I see. Hoping to re-enter.
Exactly. So, by waiting until the fourth day, when, as the King James says, Lazarus stinketh, Jesus ensured there was absolutely zero doubt about the magnitude of the miracle.
Wow, I mean, praise God. That completely changes how I read that story. If he had arrived on day two, the religious leaders could have just claimed it was a deep coma.
Right, or that the spirit just naturally returned. By waiting, he dismantled that superstition entirely.
Because to them, death was final. But Brother Stiv emphasizes that for the believer, death is not permanent, it is merely temporary.
And he gave such a relatable analogy for this.
He did. Think about a husband and wife. When they go to bed at night, they say goodnight to each other.
They don't say a tearful, permanent goodbye.
Right, because they know they are only temporarily separated until morning. And that is exactly what the believer's death is. It is just a temporary rest.
It is a beautiful truth.
But the disciples were not there yet. I love how Brother Steve brings up Thomas in this narrative.
Honest Thomas.
Yes, he affectionately calls him Honest Thomas rather than Doubting Thomas because Thomas was so terrified of returning near Jerusalem where they wanted to stone Jesus that he simply resigned himself to the physical reality.
He says, "Let us go also that we may die with him."
He only sees the horizontal physical reality.
Right. And to understand how Jesus can casually refer to death as sleep, we have to look at the theological foundation Brother Steve lays out.
Let's explore that foundation.
Well, Christ is the creator of physical life. He is the one who forms babies in the womb.
Absolutely.
Secondly, He is the recreator of our spiritual lives,
yeah,
breathing life into our spiritually dead state.
Praise God.
And because of those two things, he's the ultimate guarantor of our eternal life.
He holds the complete authority. Which brings us to the pivotal interaction between Jesus and Martha. And I think this holds the key for how you and I must operate in today's dark world.
It is a very human encounter.
Extremely human. Martha runs out to meet Jesus on the road. And her very first words are, essentially, that he could have healed Lazarus if he had been there earlier.
Lord, if you had been here.
Exactly. Her faith was entirely in the past.
And when Jesus gently corrects her, saying her brother will rise again, she immediately pivots to the future.
Right. She says she knows he will rise in the resurrection at the last day.
So her faith is either entirely in the past or in the distant theological future.
And I want to pause here and challenge you, the listener. Don't we do the exact same thing today?
We absolutely do.
We trust God for our ultimate salvation in the future. We know we're going to heaven. But we act as though he has no power over our immediate pain or our grief or the dark circumstances we face right now.
It is a profound danger, a strictly futuristic faith.
Yes, a futuristic faith. But Jesus masterfully shifts her focus, doesn't he?
He does. He shifts her focus from an event, a future resurrection, to a person.
By declaring, I am.
Exactly. I am the resurrection and the life. By saying, I am, he demands her focus beyond him in the present moment.
Not I was and not I will be. Right now.
Right now. As Brother Steve warns, if your walk with Jesus is strictly futuristic in nature, you are losing out.
You are carrying the burden all by yourself.
Right. Jesus wants to change our focus from our current hopeless conditions to his immediate active power.
So that brings us to the really practical question. How do we actually live this out? How do we make that shift in our daily lives when the darkness is pressing in?
Brother Steve distills it down to a remarkably simple two-letter word.
Me.
Me. Jesus is asking us to focus entirely on him.
Just look at him. And when we do that, something incredible happens to our spiritual fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
We can make the same threefold confession that Martha made.
Yes, when she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God.
She acknowledges him as Lord, as Messiah, and as the Son of God. Her focus completely shifts from the tomb to the great I am.
And there was a very humorous yet profound observation Brother Steve made about what happens when our focus is finally aligned like that.
Oh, the cake analogy.
Yes.
He said that once you have salvation and your focus is securely on Jesus, everything else he does for you in this life is just icing on the chocolate cake.
Specifically cream cheese icing.
Right. He was very specific. Cream cheese icing. But the theology behind that is so comforting.
It really is.
Our salvation is the cake. It is everything we need.
Yeah.
So every other provision, every healed relationship, every moment of peace is just the unmerited icing on top.
Which ties back to the spiritual reality we talked about earlier. Without Christ, we are spiritually dead.
We are horizontal.
Exactly. Flat on our backs due to the sin we inherited from Adam. We have no power to stand up against the darkness.
We are paralyzed.
Yes. It is only the Holy Spirit that causes us to become vertical, standing us up to walk in victory.
Praise God for that vertical life. We cannot generate it ourselves.
No, we cannot. And because of that vertical life, Brother Steve gave the congregation a very specific piece of homework.
I remember this.
Yeah.
And we want to pass this homework along to you, the listener.
He asked everyone to take 10 minutes. 10 minutes to slowly, carefully read the entire 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Right, to truly grasp the hope we have as believers. But he added a crucial instruction for that reading, didn't he?
He did. He said to read those verses while actively remembering those around us who are currently Christless.
Because when you understand the glorious hope of the resurrection, and then you realize that people you know are facing an eternity separated from God, it shatters your complacency.
It demands action.
Absolutely. A present tense focus on the I am compels us to share the gospel.
It really does.
So, as we wrap up our time today, we just want to remind you that navigating a dark world requires a singular focus.
We must intentionally turn our eyes away from our present anxieties.
Yes, and fix them firmly on Jesus. It means trusting the great I am, not just for a future resurrection, but for present-day peace, power, and spiritual life.
He is intimately present right now.
And we want to leave you with this final provocative thought to ponder this week.
Something to really reflect on.
Think about how Jesus intentionally delayed his arrival in Bethany. He waited to turn a profound tragedy into an undeniable display of his absolute authority.
He orchestrated it perfectly.
So, what perceived delays or unanswered prayers are you experiencing in your own life right now? What if those very delays, those situations that feel hopeless, are actually the staging ground for a much greater revelation of his presence?
We have to trust his timing.
We do. We have to trust the author of life. Thank you for joining us for our time in the Word today. May your focus remain steadfastly on the great I Am.